What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of the Friday Sessions. This one was an interesting one. We start off with some of the news of the world with Elon Musk and Joe Rogan interview and what that means and all that kind of stuff, and trying to extract out of that what it means to us as everyday people just trying to build our business, build our wealth, and get out of the rat race. But then the discussion did a sort of about halfway through, sort of did a hard right turn into how to structure our lives for meaning and maximum enjoyment. And we talked about in detail, like, why I made this massive decision while I'm going through my midlife crisis right now to basically sell everything in Australia and move overseas. And, you know, we had a really in-depth talk about having real discussions with you and your family about options that might be available to you that you just haven't even thought about or had meaningful discussions about in your family, and how by changing the way you think about life, there might be some really exciting paths that you could take right now if only you knew how to start the discussions and re-look at your skills and take stock of your assets and be open-minded about the way that you are approaching life. So with that said, bit of an interesting one this week. I think you'll enjoy it. Stick around though, because it really is like two different pods. The first half is kind of, you know, the day-to-day stuff, and the second half is kind of really, I think, meaningful. So enjoy. Let us know what you think. Bye for now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Friday Sessions. We are back with the full panel today. Man, I don't know about you guys, but every time we sit down to do these sessions, it feels like we've had 3 months of news in like a week. Like, I look back through the WhatsApp group this morning that we have together, just sort of chatting about possible subjects for the pod, and I was looking at it tomorrow, I'm like, oh my god, just like so much stuff has gone down. Where do we start this week, guys? Like, it's been crazy. We had the Elon and Rogan pod, which was amazing. We've got so much stuff happening out there in the macro. It's crazy.
We got Zelensky. They got in the Oval Office.
That's one that has the internet doing backflips and people talking about morality and the right thing to do. And it's just like, when you're kind of breaking all these things down from a macro and a geopolitical level, you see that there's so many big moves that are actually going on, and people are getting stuck in, oh, that wasn't right, or that was right. And it's like, that's irrelevant. Like, there's so many big moves that are shaping the way the world is going to look for the next 10, 20 years that are happening, that little spat in the office, it doesn't even mean anything.
Well, it means quite a bit to the meme creators out there, though. Fuck, do they have some fun with it?
What I'm trying to say is that the courses that we're going to be on are starting to unfold, and it's got kind of like a little bit semantics, just those things that happen in front of the camera.
I think what we're seeing though is, Mark, when you say it doesn't mean anything, I think the world is seeing things they've never seen before.
Yes.
Like, normally that discussion would be had behind closed doors. You would never see that actual discussion. You would never see many of the things that are being unfolded right now.
That's true.
And yeah, I think the Rogan Elon pod was really eye-opening, which we'll no doubt get into, but what a time to be alive. Like, this time, I mean, I think what we're seeing is a guy that, you know, love him or hate him, and I'm very divided on Trump, right? As you know, I love certain things and I absolutely hate other things, but the world is going through some major machinations and movements, yes, right now, which is very interesting.
That's the lens. Like, this is a business podcast, this is a business show, and the main aim for business is to put out value, collect money in order to get some sort of thing in your life that you want, whether it be freedom or whatever it might be. And I think that's the probably the key message, is to kind of take a little bit of a step back, put your ideology, leave it at the door. Like, okay, I like Trump, I hate Trump, whatever, leave it at the door for a minute and just understand how it affects the bigger picture. And then, you know, we were talking before the pod, Adam, that the opportunity cost today to be focusing on the wrong thing is greater than it's ever been. Because the amount of opportunity and areas where you can make money really, really quickly are going to come and go really, really fast.
Can you imagine the Dems sitting back watching this going, what the fuck happened to our White House? This was like when those guys were going, because Zelensky did not shut up for a minute, and he had Trump telling him to quieten down. You could see Trump took a deep breath that sort of waited. And then you had JD getting in there, just beating the shit out of him. You can imagine Hillary and Obama and those guys sitting back and go, what a fucking circus.
But did you watch the whole interview? It was a 50-minute meeting in the Oval Office, and the last 7.5 minutes when JD decided to answer a question from the press, and JD answers this question to the press, and then Zelensky's like, and says, oh, but. So he obviously triggered Zelensky, and then it just kicked off because Trump was like backing his man and whatever.
Yeah.
But what you saw, Adam, was the remnants of the three previous behind closed doors conversations that Zelensky had with Rubio and with JD Vance and with Secretary Scott Bessent. And it then came out in public. And that was the wild thing about it. Like, I'm like, is this actually happening? Like, are they intending for this to happen, or are these men just being human and they're slipping right now? Because for 44 minutes or 43 minutes, it went fine, the press conference.
I think what we need to remember is I look at this as all this propaganda and attention seeking, and they all want our attention. Mm-hmm. They all want it for clicks. They want it for whatever reasons.
Power.
And we got to really, really stay focused at the task at hand. Mm-hmm. Whatever you are doing, whether it's starting a business, learning about investing, learning about property, whatever it is, there's so much noise. Like just this week and amongst our chats and stuff, it's so easy. Next thing you know, you're watching a 3-hour pod on this and a 2-hour, you know, a 50-minute interview on this. And the reality is none of that is going to change anything in your business right now. That is the reality. What it is going to take away focus. Just because that argument that happened, right? And because Elon Musk is, you know, heading up Doge and going, look at what's happening with all these payments and all this. It's happening in people's businesses right now without them even knowing.
But there right? is there
but
is
they
an
sit
argument.
There. But they'll sit there and go, oh my God, I can't believe that's happening. There's people in business right now, right, that have larger businesses, that there's payments that are happening that you wouldn't probably approve. Now, at Unemployable as an example, we're cutting so much in the back end to just, and we're a small business at the moment, right? But you look at subscriptions. There's a subscription that we had that was costing us $550 a month as an example, which we've stripped and now it's costing us a third on another platform. Small things like this is efficiency, right? Now, what that should tell you when you watch Elon Musk talking about all this wastage, right? He goes wastage and fraud. Like, which one is it? Look in your own business and see where you can actually be more efficient in your own business. Because the more you watch, and I watch it as well, don't get me wrong, but the more that you stay and watch this propaganda, as much as it's education, it will scare the shit out of you and it'll keep you in the blocks, not moving. That's my belief.
I think it's a really subtle thing. So I would encourage all business people to watch the Rogan and Elon pod because it was profound. There's so many layers to what that discussion had in it. But Eric's point, I think, is valid that you need to be really careful to separate the stuff that is rage porn and decide to designed purposely or not to distract you and keep you angry and engaged from the stuff that's actually meaningful and useful in investing in business.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely meaningful, useful stuff in there.
But
like when you're thinking about, for just one example, separating the hatred of Elon Musk from the viability of Tesla as a company, that's a meaningful decision that can have, if you're an investor in Tesla, for example, that can have an impact on your decision. So it's very important that you're able to just really with a fine tooth comb, be aware of your emotions and where your brain is leading you and ask, be in that moment of decision going, am I going to allow it to take me down this path or am I just going to extract the commercial value for me and my family?
I agree with all those points, but in the investment world, every single thing that these guys are saying in these press conferences actually does matter to the bottom line as well, because tariffs, trade agreements, all these things that they're discussing, they're all geopolitical things that are going to change the nature of the way we do business.
Well, just look at this week. If you think what Donald Trump says doesn't matter, see how much of it was billions and billions of dollars in like a sentence.
It's like a white knuckle ride, that's for sure.
It sure is. So guys, you know, keep an eye on that. But again, as Eric said, don't get pulled into it because it is important that for the vast majority of people who are just getting up in the morning, struggling to pay their bills. I saw one comment under the Elon pod and it said, where does this guy get the time? I don't even have time to watch this pod. but it's true, right? Like that actually is a real sentiment for the average punter out there. So if you're struggling just to get an extra $1,000 a week to invest or $100 a week to invest in this world, you need to be very, very, very careful about, you know, what you filter through that's actionable. But there might be this big war going on over there, but in that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you're still trying to work yourself into the point of financial freedom.
You know, it's crazy. I was with a good friend of mine, right? Very successful in business. He's actually a coach himself. And we caught up for lunch. This is a week or two ago. And he was explaining to me, he's from the US originally, and he's right into the Ukraine war. He goes, Eric, I start my day off by reading the news, and then I turn on a channel, which actually shows there's a live channel, don't know where it is, what it is, that you can actually watch the war live.
What the fuck?
And you can see people getting blown up and kids and this and that. And he goes, I'll watch that for a bit. I get educated on what's actually going on there. Because he goes, the reality is people have no idea what's going on. And he goes, if somebody were to watch that, it'll give them like a huge realization going like, what the hell is going on? And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm just like, what? Like in my mind, it's like, why?
What a bloody routine. I did up my game a little
bit. Yeah. But like he's so educated in that space. He's such an educated guy, but obviously he's taken a very keen interest outside of business.
What's his
view? I didn't even dig deep because to me, it doesn't matter. This is happening and it's out of our control and we can't do anything about it, right? There's the higher powers that can and we can't, and we just got to sit on the sidelines and watch these interesting interviews, you know, that are happening around the world. And it's funny because I'm watching a very, very good show at the moment with my missus to check out, right? Other than White Lotus, which season 3 just came out.
Oh, really?
That doesn't know, it's the best show out there. Another very good one called Paradise, and it's all about, like, you know, the world ending and the higher powers, and only a select few that get put in this, you know, underground bunker type of thing. And I just look at that, I'm like, it's real life. We're watching it on TV, but it's based on real life. I'll give you an example, the sentence when Trump said about the crypto, right? Did we know about it? I didn't know about it. Did you know about it? We knew it was coming, right? We knew there was words, you know, around it. But did you know that it was going to come yesterday and what time it was going to come at? I didn't.
But it was only a tweet. Nothing has come.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is the shakeup of one comment, right? Like you can go and invest a lot of money and make a lot of money in a very short period of time if you're in the know.
The guy did. A guy took somebody in the news took a 50x leverage on it a few hours before it happened and made $200 million overnight. So yeah, I mean this Hunger Games is real. It's actually happening. So it's very interesting. So you know, I want to kick off with something helpful that I think I discovered this week.
Like with maths? I mean, sounds like we're just to fucking lighten up a little bit. We've got Ukraine war.
But honestly, talking about this, right? There will be a lot of people that will watch this going, I feel the same. Like this week's been heavy, right? It's been heavy when it comes to geopolitics and what's happening around the world. There's impact.
People go from loving Trump and Elon to hating Trump and Elon, depending on what they're invested in. Right?
It's like, did you see that meme? And it's like, you know the David Beckham and Posh Spice meme when she's from the door saying,
"Yeah,
oh, I bought her.
Tell the truth,
that one."
Yeah.
And so it was like, I'm on, it was Posh saying, I stand with Ukraine. And Bex is like, tell the truth. It's like, I stand with Ukraine, tell the truth. I just hate Trump. That's better.
That's funny. That's interesting. I put up a thing this morning on my Instagram just saying to all the people out there, you know, like, I just want to mention this quickly about those who are invested in Bitcoin and crypto. You know, what does become very clear through these, when this volatility happens, is you really learn about, if you're an investor, you call yourself an investor, right? You really learn whether you're an investor or a speculator when these massive bits of volatility happen, because an investor, when volatility happens, knows the company they invested in, or the Bitcoin that they invested in, or if they bought Solana and they stay and they don't stress. The people who are not stressed are the ones who really understand the asset. So they understand they own Solana because by virtually all metrics in the altcoin space, Solana is winning 75% of the transaction volume. It's faster. Its valuation is way below ETH and all these other ones. The people who know Solana's metrics and why people are buying Solana will be relaxed right now. I'm not a Solana investor, by the way. I don't own any, but people who own Bitcoin, they're not stressed right now who really know. But most people are not investors. They're just speculators. They bought it because they saw it going up and, oh my God, I don't want to miss out on the next run. And then as soon as it goes against them, they hold on, and then they capitulate. And that's where the money gets lost. But you're not an investor yet. You're still a speculator.
It was funny. I think I sent it to you or the group, but from the all-time highs of 109,000 to the drop, 78% of the people who were selling were people who bought it recently, like short term.
And there's 30 days.
It's funny because the markets are the only like store in the world when the prices are down that people start running from the store. It's like, really, if you know it, like I spent the biggest task of my last week was looking at all the charts of all the things I want to invest in over the next 5 to 10 years and working out where the deep value buy zones are. So that when all the noise, so I just had bids set for those buy zones.
You showed me that over the coffee. So when you explain the way that it is, because you're a Tesla guy, you're a MicroStrategy guy.
Yeah. So it's like, again, not financial advice, but some of the things I'm looking at acquiring and holding for 5 to 10 years are Bitcoin, Tesla, CoinSpot,
Coinbase, you mean?
Coinbase, sorry, Palantir, MSTR, MicroStrategy, and I can basically look at the chart of where they are at the moment and how much they've fallen, because a lot of them have fallen 30 to 50%, but I can also see the likelihood of where they're going to fall. And that's based on previous volumes and previous levels and mathematical Fibonacci levels and things like that. And so I've identified 3 buy zones if the prices drop further on all of these assets. And I'm just waiting for those buy zones to come.
Have you cross-checked that with ChatGPT or Grok or something? To see, because I'd love to see.
Always, because and this is the beauty about it, right? When I went to school, I'm like, oh, why do I need math and science? I want to be a business person. So I didn't really pay attention when it came to algebra and all the math stuff at school. But it's all math, right? And so when I have these things, I'm putting everything through ChatGPT. And I'm getting it to analyze all the indicators. I'm getting it to analyze price. I'm getting it to analyze Fibonacci. I'm getting it to analyze volume. I'm getting it to analyze all the indicators that the pros look at.
So if you were just wanting to hack this, could you go to Grok or ChatGPT and say, I'm thinking of buying these things, Tesla, blah, blah, things just went through. If I wanted to buy at or near the bottom, could you tell me, based on historical data right now, where are the deep value buy zones?
Yes, it could tell you for sure.
And would you, as a guy who actually understands how to do it manually, find that that's pretty accurate?
It's nuanced, right? Like, for example, I asked Grok Deep Research. I said, here are the 4 assets I want to invest in. I want you to look at the risk reward on them and allocate how much of $1 million I should invest in each of these 4 assets. I did it with ChatGPT, I did it with Grok, and Grok's reasoning was actually better than ChatGPT's, and they came up with a different answer, right? So sometimes they're going to come up with different answers, and you've got to be able to apply a lens over it.
It's a great study partner.
But if you're just saying, what I do, this is what I do. I'll give you a practical example of exactly what I do. The longer term timeframes are better. So I'll get a chart of Tesla. I'll get 4 charts. I get the monthly chart, I'll get the weekly chart, the daily, and the 6-hour chart. The 6-hour chart's great because it includes all the after hours trading. And I give ChatGPT those 4 charts and I say, analyze these 4 charts and show me where the 3 buy zones would be based on all the indicators and all the mathematical formulas that traders would use. And then it goes in and it assesses all the charts and it shows you where those buy zones are.
And
the important nuance is, it's the price is not fixed. So every day, the price of those assets changes. So every day, those buy zones could change, right? So it is important.
And you've got those three buy zones, so you can dollar cost average in. So you'll do, if it hits here, we'll put 30% of the allocation in at 30, 30, 30, or whatever. Is that the reason you've got three, or what's your strategy with it?
Yeah, the reason, because there's no certainty that all those zones are ever going to get hit. I then apply a macro framework. Okay, what do I think is going to happen over the next 3 to 6 months with the overall market? Is liquidity going to be coming out of the market or going into the market? And then I'll put that and say, okay, well, because I think liquidity is coming out of the market in the next 3 months, there's a really good chance that those low buy zones will get hit, and I'll adjust my percentages. For example, right? I'll give you a practical example. My dad, he's got a little bit of spare cash on the side. And I said, Dad, should we buy a property? Should we buy a commercial property, residential property? I said, Dad, what's the point? Like, you're not going to see anything from that. Why don't we do something that's actually potentially going to give you something where you can go travel the world or do whatever with the windfall? I said, let's take $100,000 and let's put it into Bitcoin. He said, oh, what if it goes down? I said, just leave it to me. So I went in and I basically looked at all the buy zones, looked at the macro. And I've been telling you guys for a little while, I think we hit 75,000. And I said, my buy zones are 88,000, 82,000, and 75,000.
USD.
But I think with the macro, the way it is at the moment, those buy zones could even be a little bit deeper. And so I did 20% at 88,000, 20% at 78,000, and 60% at 65,000, whatever it is.
If it hits it.
Now, it might not. So I'm just going to have to watch the market, see what the market does. And if the market then becomes bullish again, I'm going to have to readjust, redo those buy zones.
But the goal is to deploy 100% of the allocated capital into Bitcoin. So you've got 20, the other 60, will you deploy it or not?
I will deploy it. So let's say for example, that that bottom buy zone with 60% doesn't get hit and we go off onto a bullish trend. Well, then I'll start deploying that slowly as we get pullbacks. Right.
Did you see?
Or I'll keep some for the next bear market.
So obviously over the last week, right, Bitcoin's like within days went down by 10%, up by 10%, and back down by 10% as an example, roughly.
Yeah.
Did you see the traffic? Like obviously, because we're dealing with historical data, you're looking at like everything's in history. Did you see more liquidity coming to the market when that buy, like when that initial 10% came down?
Explain.
So if Bitcoin was up, right?
And then it
went down about 10%.
Overnight?
Give or take. Oh, it felt like it was.
Or when it dropped.
Right, when it dropped.
Recently, or when it dropped to like 78,000?
No, recently.
Recently, yeah.
And then it went up
yesterday? Yep.
When Trump, and now it's back down again, another 10%.
Yep.
So it's like 10%. With the data that you're seeing, are you seeing the influxes of liquidity coming back into Bitcoin? Because like when it's down by 10% and then Trump makes a tweet here, I'm assuming that this tweet just doesn't come out of nowhere, right? Did you see any more liquidity coming into that market at that, when it was down by that 10 to get that 10% uplift?
To be honest, these recent moves, so when it went up from like 78,000 to 95 or whatever, and then 95 back down to 85, there's not a lot of liquidity required to push the market around like that. Because what happens is he announced it on a weekend. He announced it on Sunday when the traders aren't in front of their computers.
Yeah.
So all it takes is like that announcement to come out on Twitter, a couple of algorithms to pick it up, and then retail to rush in, and the price goes up. And then all the traders are like, there's no fucking substantial reason why. Yeah. Nothing. It was just a tweet. Nothing's actually been done. Nothing's been announced. So all the traders that know what they're doing, they sell into that. They fade that. And they're like, this is bullshit. This is just retail liquidity coming in, pushing. Because with markets, price can get pushed on the margins. So that those small trades either way on the margins can push the price a lot, especially in low liquidity environments like the weekend. So the big traders just fade all that. It's literally noise.
It's like one-offs. It's not really anything that...
What I'm saying is that event, that what happened over the weekend is not a big event. It was just a tweet and it was just a couple of people reacting to the tweet. It wasn't like a big liquidity event either way.
In my opinion, for all of you guys listening, this is all great chit-chat. But for the average person listening, you're better off, in my opinion, focusing on your business and making it a hobby to learn deeply about quality assets that you can invest in over time. Because if you think you're going to out-trade Mark, for example, and Mark is sharp, but he's not the sharpest tool in that particular shed, right? Because that shed is full of razor-sharp algorithms, guys that
are living on masters of the universe.
Yeah, people living on cocaine and Adderall and literally have their offices.
I should start trading for
quantum physics experts.
No, for real. Like, you're not going to win. So the only way, in my opinion, for the average punter to win is to deeply inform themselves through a passionate interest in either just buy the index and wait, or develop a deep interest. Like, we've got a guest in the studio today, Matt, and Matt's really interested in artificial intelligence music. So he probably knows the best AI music platforms and things in the world. And if any of those actually become public companies, he would have an advantage of some description. So for the average person, learning about a space that's really interesting, to me, my area of interest as it relates to equities is pretty narrow. I follow James at Invest Answers, and, you know, I buy Bitcoin. I don't care whether it's 95 or 85 because I'm not selling it for at least 10 years. So all of this is a rounding error, in my opinion, with that time frame. So focus on generating free cash flow, buying for the long term, because it's sure as shit for 99% of people, they're going to lose money if they're watching the Bitcoin app every day, Coin Stats, or they're watching Tesla. I'll tell you a quick story. I took my house to auction last week, didn't sell. I expect that it'll probably sell for somewhere between $500,000 and $750,000 less than it would have sold for 18 months ago. Let's call it, for the ease of numbers, a year ago, right? I worked it out. That's about $4,000 a day or $3,000 a day that I've lost in the last year. Now, if there was an app on my phone that alerted me that I was losing $3,000 to $4,000 a day every day for the last year, I might have panic sold my house, right? So that's actually the reality. Real estate breathes in and breathes out. It just does it more slowly and politely. Whereas CoinStats is like, you know, something that people log into, and that it's a barometer for their joy in life. It's a barometer for their sanity. The stock market's the same. That's why the average person just gets chewed up and spat out. Whereas real estate, people just don't. They just hang on to it. They need somewhere to live. And
that's right. If you could check your portfolio, property portfolio on the daily, I'm sure there's a lot more fucking trading going on.
Correct. And get the way to make money, like Mark asked me during the week, we had a guest in here who's a very successful commercial real estate investor last week. The pod hasn't come out yet. Young guy on the rich list, over $100 million worth of commercial real estate. Mark said, you know, hey, what do you think about allocating and going buy some commercial at the moment? And I said, well, Mark, what's important is you understand how commercial property prices work and the macro. The same way Mark just talked about the macro of liquidity in the market and all that, I just said to Mark, when it comes to commercial real estate, because I know a bit about it, where do you think interest rates are going long term? And he said, up. I said, all right, so if you buy a commercial property, there's two sort of buckets when you're buying and selling. You're either buying or selling a property that's vacant and you're selling it to an owner occupier, or it's got a tenant in it with a lease, right? And most beginner investors want a tenant in it because they're afraid of commercial property being vacant. So if you're going to buy a tenanted commercial property that's got a lease in place, and let's say that lease is $100,000 a year, if your view is that interest rates are going to go up, those tenanted properties buy and sell between investors, right? Because owner occupiers can't move in. So only investors. So why would an investor buy a commercial property? Because of the income. So if the income's $100,000 and interest rates go up, right? What do you think is going to happen to the value of the property? Well, it's going to go down because the income off the property is fixed. So if the cost of owning the property rises against the income, then the value of the property has to come down in order for the income percentage to stay the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, in a higher interest rate environment too, I mean, there's less risk if you're leaving your money parked instead of in an asset that has tenancy risk and everything that goes along with it.
Correct. So if you want to get a 7% return and it's $100,000 of income, you just have to put it in the calculator and work it out. So there's basics that you need to understand with all these markets. And if you understand the basics, and the reason I made so much in commercial property is because it was the opposite. I bought when, and then the interest rates dropped. And so all the money rushed into out of banks and into real estate, and the prices went up.
What's amazing with the amount of money that you made in commercial as well is you didn't really use leverage.
Mm.
And if during that time you had gone out and bought more on leverage, you would have made so much more. Like the leverage piece is also really, really interesting.
Totally.
Commercial property, like understanding return on the total investment versus just return on cash invested.
I'd have been much better with leverage.
Yeah.
But I was just in a mindset of just deploying capital.
You're working on your businesses. I get it, right? Yeah. But
so, you know, anyway, so I think that, you know, just being able to just know enough to, for the average person, don't get drawn into, because it becomes a distraction trying to learn to trade the share market or to trade real estate. Unless there's a difference with real estate, like what Eric does, he does value adds. So you buy something, you add value, you realize the thing, and it's, but you're not trading, you're not trying to time market, you're trying to create value. There's a difference there.
I mean, you when I was talking about trading those meme coins the other week, you're like, what did you say? Like, that sounds like sticking my dick in a cheese grater. Like, literally, for most people, that's
slightly amusing, but mostly painful.
No, but that's if, like, trading is that experience, and I love trading, but at times it's felt exactly that way for me as well, right? It's just something that I love and I want to learn about. But the more I learn about it, the more I realize that I should be doing less of it and doing more of the long-term stuff. And the trading just gives me an edge to know when to pick the entries. And
I said, you know, to you guys last week, you know, and I say to anybody, like, when they say, oh, do you think I should be an XRP or Solana or whatever? I'm like, I'm happy with 50% CAGR, compound annual growth rate, that Bitcoin offers. Like, if you put, we showed the numbers on it, what 50% CAGR is over 10 years. 1 million turns into, I think it was 100 million over 10 years.
That's something that I did ask the ChatGPT deep research to do. I'm like, if the CAGR keeps up, and it obviously won't, the CAGR will probably drop. But if you plug in the CAGRs, 100 grand in each Solana, Bitcoin, Palantir, and they keep up like they have over the last 10 years, you get to billions of dollars like within 14 years.
So like, why do you need to go up the risk curve, like, to all these alternate things? Like, $1 million over 10 years at 50% CAGR is 57 million, right? And
if, yeah, wait, to, but do it over 16 years. Watch how much it goes from in that extra six.
Yeah, yeah. It's a 10X on 25%, which is half what it's been. If you halve it over 10 years, 1 million turns into 9.5. It's a 10X over 10 years. It's crazy. So it's worth it.
Do 16 years.
And that's the way I look at it.
Just to show what that really is.
I've always looked at investments, whether they're from business, real estate, Bitcoin for me. It's all long term. The issue is people don't want to wait long term.
No.
They don't want to wait 10 years. I'm 50. I'm 60. I want to live now. I might die tomorrow.
It's not even that. We spoke about it last week. We said, what are we going to do while we wait?
No, but this is it. I mean, you know, I turned 51 on Monday, and you blink and it creeps up on you like that. I spoke to a Bitcoiner in Sydney, I'm interviewing him this Thursday, and he's made a proper amount of money. And he said, the problem when you really understand Bitcoin, for example, and you really believe it, is you have all this time back, because with Bitcoin, it's a fixed asset, and you actually kind of know that there's no more supply coming, and that when you truly understand that as more money gets printed, this money has to find a home, and a percentage of it's going to find its home in Bitcoin. And you can see that over time, that percentage is just ever increasing over time as the world begins to understand the asset. Once you understand these big rocks, he goes, I've got all this time, because I know that I just know, even in the most conservative scenarios. To answer your question, on that compounding, $1 million, 25% a year over 10 years is like 9.5 million. But if you add another 6 years, it goes to 36 just by waiting.
But the key thing you said there is you kept saying over time. People have the mindset of they want to buy Bitcoin at 75, right? And then hold on to it. But they're going to put 100 grand in. It's not life-changing stuff. Like, this is why you need to be committed in what you are doing, right? My property portfolio, I've held over time. That's why now the equity's here and I'm getting rent and it's paying for this and it's paying for that. It's all time businesses, right? Like, we've been in our online business 15 years, man. 15 years. People have had 8 jobs in 15 years. They can't even keep a job for 15 years or a business for, they don't even believe in it in 15 years. We've been running the podcast now for 14, 15 months. Where's the podcast going to be in 5 to 10 years from now? We'll be living off YouTube, right? Like, that's the point, right? That's the goal of creating this, right? It takes time, compound, and you can see it on the chart. I sit down with Stuart, we look at it, right? We would pay $20 from YouTube. Then you paid $150. Then you paid $1,000. Then you paid and it'll just keep going up and up. But the reality is we got to come here twice a week for the next 5 years and keep putting up the value as an example to keep pushing. And it's the same thing in real estate. It's the same thing in business, and it's easy to give up. And that is the problem. If you don't have the conviction and your why isn't big enough, right? And a lot of people's just instant gratification. You make $100,000, you want to spend $150,000. That's what we've been taught, right? And then get in the hole by $50,000 and pay off interest. Like what Scott said here, what we've been taught is buy $1 million property and pay $3 million for it and pay $2 million of interest over 30 years.
We spoke about this. Australia's debt to income is 200%. So it's
how the whole system is.
You know what I mean? It's double your debt.
And it's not just that. Like when we went and walked a site on last Sunday, and we're sitting there going, oh, fuck, okay, we'll price these, call it $3 million. It's not, they're a bit more than that. And you just sit there and go, dude, we're going to hold a few of these. You just think, fucking 10 years' time, can you really see $7 million in this? It's like, dude, your head just goes boom, but then you go back home quickly, jump on UppyData, and you look, similar sort of product, 10 years, 6, 7 years before, it wasn't even half the price. And you're like, it's just hard to get your head around, just sit and wait.
People don't future pace very well.
No.
And it's much harder. I said this on this morning, holding is so hard just to leave things alone because we're like little Adderall addicts, you know, like this. I always say to people, Amazon, if you put $10,000 into the Amazon IPO and held it till 2020, you would have $21 million. But there's only two people who did that out of all of the millions of people who bought and sold Amazon shares, and that was Jeff Bezos and his former wife, Mackenzie,
and his mum, wasn't it?
And his mum, Jeff and his mum, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so it's just the ability to hold and relax and go and, but having deep conviction in certain things. And same with property. This is why people create wealth through property. It's why people create wealth through Bitcoin or whatever it is they hold.
It's a really good point. You know, I just want to touch on the word you said, like the phrase deep conviction. I think that is a massive point. Like, So many people that comment on things on social media and things, you can tell that they've absolutely put jack all thought in their comment. Totally. And it's like, you're just being triggered. It's like, have some fucking deep conviction, because then you are prepared to wait.
Well, it's deep conviction, and it's knowing what you want and what you value and what's important to you moving forward. I don't want to travel the world when I'm fucking 75.
But that's part of deep conviction.
I want to travel the world with my family now. And enjoy it now. If that means for anybody, you got to sell a bit of your Bitcoin or you got to sell a bit of your property to go and do that, and you feel that's the right decision for you and your family, then do it. I think what we do is...
It's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period, and with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
We compare ourselves to everybody else. Like, sometimes I sit there and
that's
see
the opposite of
these families that have just sold everything, right? Moved overseas and homeschooling their kids and doing, and I look at that, I'm like, man, they seem so happy. They're just doing their thing, you know? And then I think to myself, but they're going to have nothing left for the kids. The kids are going to have all this experience. Like, I want to have something left for my kids. So that's why it's not like I keep building. Like, I don't have to keep building, right? You don't have to keep building. these are the types of things that they're decisions, but what is important to you, right? Like, I'll go and spend X amount on a European holiday. Now, I know I can put that same money into Bitcoin and hold it for 10 years, and it's going to be worth, you know, at a CAGR of 20% or 25%, and it's going to be worth X. But right now,
is that an $8 million holiday?
Right? Yeah, that's right. It's an $8 million holiday in 10 years. But for me, what's important right now is doing that holiday, because there's going to be a point in time where my kids aren't going to want to do that holiday with me. And there's going to be a point in time in my life where it's just going to be me and my wife with plenty of money doing certain things that we probably aren't 100% happy doing because we wish we would have done it earlier in better health. So it's really, it really depends on what is important to you. You got Adam here as an example, right? You know the amount of people that ask me that I haven't even told Adam about that go, what? Why? Why is he doing that? What do you mean? Right? But that's his choice. This is what he wants to do, right? This is his vision from his past experience of being in business for fucking 30 years, up and down and up and down and up and down, to the point where he's built a lifestyle and he's built a war chest that he doesn't need to work again a day in his life if he doesn't want to. And he could frolic the world and do what he wants to do, right? But what we've been taught to do is not do that. And that's why people go, why would he do that? Why would you do? And this is the thing, we have to stick to our convictions of what we believe in investing, but also what we want in our own life and not give a shit about what anybody else thinks. Like, I take my hat off to Adam for doing what he does, because you know what? He's probably less than 1% of the people in the world that will ever do something like that.
And that's the problem, right? Like, waking up and checking your social media or checking your ex account or checking... you're conditioned to compare yourself. Like, even you said at the start of the sentence, you said, I saw that person doing this and I saw that. And you're like, oh, I wouldn't want to do that. Or the comparison is constant. And so the work, the real work, is in working out what is best for us individually and for our families. That's the real work.
I encourage people, like, I've spent a lot of time in some interesting communities lately online and YouTube, and just seeing people have really thoughtfully approached building a life they want based on what they want, not on social media and everything else. And I think more and more Australians should think more deeply about, you know, the options that are out there in the world. You know, Australia is a wonderful place, but there are also other wonderful places in the world to go and take your family for a few years. Like, I've got plenty of friends who've gone and spent a couple of years in Bali. They come back home, but they have an amazing experience and they try different things. But yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, life is for living. But I do think there's a lot to be said for lowering your expenses, simplifying a little bit, and making sure you put stuff away for... I think right now we just really have a very unique time on all fronts. I think we have a unique opportunities in property, and people go, oh, how can you say that? And like, everyone calls me a boomer these days, even though I'm not a boomer. I say that because there's never been so much money available to help people who want to start in property. There's amazing opportunities in Bitcoin. There's amazing opportunities in AI. There's amazing opportunities in business. There's amazing access to information on any of those things if you want to get involved and get into those spaces. If there was ever a time that you didn't have to feel trapped in what you're doing, now is that time.
Do you know what the irony is though, Adam? That the more opportunities, the more things that are going on, the more that is there and abundant, the more overwhelmed people are
becoming,
right? And I think that is part of the problem, that people don't know where to begin. And I'll give you like a little anecdotal story. Like, we've got a place in Melbourne and we've got a place in Byron Bay. The way that I feel just being in Melbourne for a week or 2 weeks versus being in Byron Bay is night and day. And I think what it comes down to is, even without the things going on in social media or things going on in the news, the environment that you're in, that we're in our everyday lives, even around our family, friends, or the networks and communities we're in, are clouding our true selves, are clouding where we want to be. Like, I get this thing come over me when I'm in Melbourne. It's just like, it's too busy, it's too much, and it's not agreeing with where my plant needs to be planted. And then when I take myself out of that and I'm in Byron, I feel clear, I feel calm, I feel right. And it's, I think so much of it, in order to get to the opportunity that is abundant, we have to strip away at all the superfluous stuff that is creating and bogging us down within our lives.
I think having thought experiments is really a healthy thing to do as well. Like this move to Cyprus that Eric was talking about before, it took a year of discussions back and forward with my partner about this before we finally decided to pull the trigger and sell everything. And I know people think Adam's having a midlife crisis. It's actually true. I am having a midlife crisis. There's no doubt in my mind, except I've sold the Porsche instead of bought the Porsche.
Classic.
I'm having an upside down midlife crisis, but I literally sold my Porsche last week. But people go, why would you sell that beautiful beachfront home? I mean, you've got like this place on the sand. But when you start doing thought experiments, like I'll walk people through it on the pod because I get asked so many times. A friend of mine in the building is one of the richest women in Australia. Adam, you're going to look back on this and the Olympics are coming and it's going to go to this and it's going to go to that. And Australians are very addicted to property. But just for the ease of numbers to let people in on the inside thinking of this, I paid $5 million. I paid 4.75 plus debts, let's say $5 million. And for ease of numbers, let's say I sell it for seven, right? That's $2 million gain. But I bought it before COVID. So first of all, that's a shitty real estate investment relative to the rest of the market. If I'd gone and bought three-bedroom houses in Labrador or Southport, I would have done better. But it's not a great return on investment. So if I go and stay there and I get the calculator out, okay, long-term Australian property's grown at 7% a year compounding over the last 30 years. And I got the calculator, okay, let's do that between 2025 and 2032, that's 7 years. Let's compound that out. And I think it worked out that the property will be worth, I'd have to look it up, but I'm just guessing $10 million or something like that. Okay, but I've got to pay land tax, body, corporate, blah, 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 all the other stuff.
And you're chained to it effectively.
Yeah, and I'm chained to it and I've got to put a tenant in because I'm going away and I work it out. Okay, I might get $3,000 to $4,000 a week, let's say $15,000 a month, less the body, corporate, land tax. There's only seven of us in the building. It's a $35 million piece of land that I'm on. So the seven of us divide it, land tax would be $40,000 a year. Then I've got it works out that like I get like 70, 80 grand a year or something in net rent on a $7 million asset. It's pretty shit, right? So when you add it all up, or I just sell it and I put the money, do first mortgage lending, which I'm doing now, and I get 9.8%. I get paid monthly. As a non-resident, I can leave all my money in Australia with the fund that does it. I get taxed 10% in Australia. So I get to leave my money exposed to Australian real estate through first mortgage lending, professionally managed,
yeah,
diversified. So my money stays here. My dividends go, or my interest payments go every month on the 25th into my National Australia Bank account with 10% retained to give to the ATO. Cyprus doesn't want any income off that money. So my effective tax rate becomes 10%. And I immediately am close to $700,000 a year. 650,
700. Three and a half years, you're in the same position with not one phone call.
And it's liquid. If I want out, I just say, hey, I want to get my funds back. Relatively liquid. And I can move. I'm free to go wherever I want.
But that's the real. I mean, financially, like you would have to be an idiot to think that the keeping it makes more sense. It just doesn't, right? But the real kicker, where it really changes our life, is the freedom and the lightness that you just don't have those issues anymore.
Well, and this is sort of what I'm getting to.
Very very, very free.
Can you just check that Eric's camera's still in the right spot there?
Are you Italian? Very passionate.
But no, you're right. But it's also mathematically assured, Mark. So I think that the market for my kind of property in the next couple of years is going to be pretty flat, right? Like high top end stuff. So it's going to be pretty flat. So I don't think I'm going to get 7% growth for the next 2 years. And I think it'll reignite when interest rates come down a little bit, if you think they're going to come down. But whereas the first mortgage lending is a fixed return, right? So it's mathematically, I've got complete peace of mind. But some people go, oh, that's all great. But many people listening to this, I've got a house worth $2 million that they bought 10 years ago for $700,000 or $800,000. They paid it off through working their nuts off. They got $2 million and they feel trapped. They could take the $2 million, turn it into $180,000 a year income, and then move to Bali for a year or two and then learn trading, like with nothing else to do, just live, not long-term because inflation will kill you, but just for a year or two, just give yourself a year or two, move to a tax-friendly environment, reconnect with your wife and kids and learn covered calls or learn to be a remote salesperson or, you know, learn and reinvent themselves in that year or two to create the life they want instead of just being trapped in fucking Nunawading or wherever you are in Australia going, I'm going to, you know, never sell your house sort of thing, the Australian man.
Or I'll do it when.
Yeah. You know, so there's lots of people actually, but they don't do the thought experiment of what if and have those conversations between each other. And I've just gone, I'm just going to give my, people say, what are you doing? I'm like, I've booked 3 or 4 conferences. Like in a few weeks, I'm in Paris for the blockchain conference. Then I'm in Vegas for the Bitcoin conference. And then I'm at a marketing event in Barcelona. And I'm doing all these different things. Things that I just want to do. I've just given myself permission to just live off the cash flow for a minute. And I've got my businesses, my caravan parks and all the caravan park and all the other things. So it's, I don't know. I just think it's really interesting for people to really get, I just keep saying to people, get a compound interest calculator out, do the math on things that you're interested in. Like just play around. What if I put $100,000 to Bitcoin and just left it for 10 years? And what if I halved the CAGR from 50% a year that it's been down to 25%? Where would that be if I just had the discipline to just not look at coin stats and just let it run? Like the guy who got put in prison for Silk Road, whatever his name was. He got let out. The best thing the government ever did for him is he couldn't access his wallet. So when he came out, all his Bitcoin's worth a fortune because he couldn't sell it while he was in jail. If you could just put yourself in jail for a minute and just step away, you little crack addicts out there, just leave it, you know, and do the thought experiment and or put it into Tesla or put it into real estate and just leave, whatever. Put it in first mortgage lending, whatever floats your boat. But I found an allocation between Tesla, Bitcoin, first mortgage lending, things that suit me based on my needs and what I want to do with my life. And so I don't care what people think because I've done the math and now I've just got this freedom to, and people say, what's your next car going to be? I'm like, probably a scooter. Like for real. And I'm actually fucking excited about it. I've got 6 suitcases.
You're also looking at buying a plane.
Yeah, but that's different.
But also, like, if
that's different.
That was a different pod, Matt.
Different message.
You sell it, my wife.
But also, after 6 months or 8 or 12 months or whatever you go, actually, this lifestyle doesn't suit me at all. You come back and fucking buy the house again.
I don't think I will buy a house again, James. I'll do what you're doing, which is I'll rent a place.
Yep.
I've got friends who live at Ephraim Island. They're in a penthouse up there. They pay $1,300 a week. Yeah. For this rock star penthouse, massive vaulted ceilings, views out both sides. It's tax deductible. They can leave it deployed. All I want to encourage people to do is just, it takes huge bravery to just have thought experiments between you and your family and realize that they're like in the huge parts of the world, owning a house doesn't matter. They don't give a shit.
Just as on this, like if you got $7 million or whatever and you're going to be net, you might be 70, 80 grand a year positive. Put $7 million at 9%. You get about, what, $700,000 worth of rent? You can go and rent. You can rent for $700,000 a year?
Mate.
Anything.
I looked at parts around the world. I went to Airbnb and I want to spend more time in Southeast Asia with the stuff that we do up there. And like I went to Airbnb and went to like Bangkok and I'm like, put up the very pointy end of Airbnb. You can't spend $5,000 a month in Airbnb there. And if you do, you got a rock star fucking pad. Just spend a month there, then hop over to Vietnam.
And it comes with 4 people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just lots of places in the world.
Don't forget massages. You'll never wash your hair ever again.
No, but what I'm saying is that there is huge part. Most of the world is poorer than Australia. So you can live an incredible quality of life. Like I want to spend time in Barcelona and Madrid and Portugal and watch football games. And there's so many things I want to do, but you just lock yourself in, like never sell your house. And you're like, bro, like you're going to be dead in a minute. Like there are options out there.
What's amazing is I was saying the lightness of it all, but that lightness is backed by math. Like it's math that's giving you that security. And that's the beautiful thing that math, not emotion, can set you free.
Totally.
And it's the same thing with us, like with the build that we're doing at the moment, like we're selling it. We're not going to live in it long-term, right? And a lot of people close to me, Matt, you're never going to leave that place. You're going to fall in love with it and da-da-da. And they're like,
you've already left
like,
it.
Right. Like they don't think like
in his head, he's gone. Right?
Same. Like even with Jen, you know, like usually it's a lot tougher with women, right? Because they get a lot more emotionally attached to these things. But luckily with her, it's opposite, right? She'd rather go and have a small place that we can lock up and we can go somewhere for 3 months and come back and go there and then go somewhere for 3 months and come back, you know, like, but again, it's what we said on another pod is, and I raised my hand at this, we're spending too much time doing and not enough thinking. Mm-hmm. We related that to business, but when was the last time, right? And again, I'll raise my hand as guilty, and I need to do this. And we keep talking about it, but we just haven't put the time in the calendar and be accountable for it. But when was the last time you did that with your life partner and said, okay, what do we want our life to look like in the next 5 to 10 years? And I'm go, I'm doing. And then I have Jen going, hey, we need to sit down so we can actually, like 10 years will just go by like this, because she's big with the kids, right? Like our eldest is 12. You know, we've got 4 years, right, really, before next, you know, she has a boyfriend, her friends, clicky, and she doesn't want to go away. They don't want to go and do things, right, for a long period of time. And it's just allocating that time in the calendar. I'm going to raise my hand and be accountable and go, I'm going to do this because my wife's hounding me for it anyways, in a good way. I allocate too much time in business. I'm strategizing about unemployable and unemployable property. And I was at MX yesterday for 2 hours strategizing and looking at opening up something else there and all these types of things. But again, if I'm not doing it, probably a lot of other people are doing it, right? So I just want everyone to look at themselves and go, when was the last time you sat down and go, let's craft what we want our life to look like for the next 10 years.
It's such a great point. I've been saying to Dom for the last 3 months, we need to sit down and have our planning days. We need, but it just keeps getting pushed back or the time doesn't get found. It's like, that should be the first fucking thing in the calendar because that's the most important thing. You know, why do we let the needs of the day get in front? Like,
I said to Cass, people don't realize like there's so much opportunity right in front of them if they just stop and think. Like my wife, Cass, she's an introvert, right? And she doesn't want to be on a camera. She doesn't want to be in social media or anything else. But for some reason, I showed her what covered calls were. So we had a friend over the other night who does covered calls at a very big level, but it's the same concept. And I said to Cass, this is how covered calls work, which is basically buying shares that you want to own anyway, like NAB Bank or Commonwealth or whatever, low risk shares. And you can make between 1% and 2% a month pretty safely. And the worst case scenario is somebody buys your shares off you for more than you paid for them. That's basically it. Now, I'm not saying financial advice. I'm just saying it's a really, really, really
great options trading.
Yeah, it's a lowest risk way to make money off shares apart from just owning them, right? And when I showed this to Cass, she lit up. She was like, oh my God, I really like this because she likes numbers, right? And I said, I want to just put an idea in your head. I said, if you could get $100,000 and write covered calls against them and make $1,500 a month off the $100,000, how would you feel about helping other women do that? And she was like, oh, I would love to do it. I've got so many girlfriends that are not businessy, but are good with numbers and, you know, and I could do, they could do it around the kids. I said, you know, you could probably start a coaching program where they pay you like $5,000. And then for $5,000, you'll sit with them once a week for 3 months, help them open their trading account, help them do their first covered call, hold their hand all the way through the process. And I said, how would you feel? She goes, I would love to do that, helping women do that and so on. And I know there's legions of women. Like if Cass actually did this and we had her on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
Like what happened with Brooke. Brooke had 98 women with her remote selling and now she's got 500 after being on the pod. And it's $8,000 to do that program, right? She made a lot of money from supporting women into a career that's worthwhile. Your sister was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Cass could charge, you know, $5,000 and maybe, I don't know, $500 a month to actually have a coaching call with her every month. And she has 10 clients. She makes $5,000 a month in coaching. She's getting to do something that she loves and everybody wins, right? So this is there for anybody listening to this, even if you're an introvert like Cass who hates cameras, hates all that stuff, but loves it. There's an opportunity for everybody if you're open to think, and this is what I mean by like selling the family home maybe and going to Bali and just applying yourself to one little narrow focus for a year and just and then go, okay, now that we've replaced the income that we're taking off this $2 million that we've got over in a first mortgage fund, we're now going to redeploy that into equities or whatever because I've got the $200,000 a year coming in from doing this thing.
It's so crazy. Like, I'm sitting here going, fucking hell. I mean, yeah, I've got the leverage, but I've got a place in Elwood. I've got a place in Byron. It's like, there's so much equity there that I could be doing these things with and freeing myself up from the, and it's a process, right? Like, only this year I've freed myself up from the day-to-day grind of my business. So step by step, we do it. But you've just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep getting yourself out of the mess.
You know, one thing I just thought of, and we don't have this in Canada, funny enough, and I don't even think they have it in the US, is Australians, right, will have a loan, right, for $1 million. But they got this thing called an offset account.
Uh-huh.
And the offset account, right, is this cushy account where you got $400,000 savings and it's sitting in the account and it's offsetting the million and you're only paying $600,000 interest on the 600.
It's such a trap.
And it is the biggest trap, right? And what people don't realize is keep putting all that money in that offset account because the banks are just using it and reloading it out anyways. Mm-hmm. And what we got it in Canada, you don't have that. You got $1 million loan, you're paying 6.5% on your $1 million loan, right? So if you have other cash, you have no choice but to deploy it into something else that's going to try and make you more. Whereas here, it's like, I'm saving 6.5% interest. I'm doing okay. Yeah. That is the mentality, right, that I find people in here. And it's so, so wrong. Mm-hmm. When you know, you can go and earn 9.8% right now. Right. If you have a minimum, what is it? $100,000, $200,000, right? Minimum $100,000, $200,000. You could go and get 9.8% and make 3.3% more on $1 million, right? That's $33,000, yeah, right? But people won't do it. Why? Because they want to see it. They want to touch it just in case it needs to be there. But this is, it's a mindset. It's a mentality that has been ingrained, right? And I can see it. Like in Canada, we don't have that option. It's like,
and not to mention these offset accounts are fucking like dynamite if they're not used properly, and most of them aren't. They're just a massive credit card.
It's like I get and understand all that, but still I've been slow to put that shit into action. And it's kind of like, I feel like I've got the right mindset, but I'm just not moving fast enough at the things that are really important at freeing you up. But what makes me take action is sitting around you blokes and having this conversation that's authentic and raw and not scripted. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, I have to.
It's
like,
creating awareness.
You've got to be around the right community to kind of push you forward to go and make those decisions. If you're hanging around a community or your parents that are saying, don't fucking do that, keep money in the bank, you've got no hope. Because if people like us who are sitting around these conversations every week are still slow to take action, what hope have you got with your old school wog parents or whatever it is? You really have to keep pushing.
The other trap with just holding and waiting for real estate prices in your own home is that, like Josh, right? My son Josh, we got him into a house in COVID, it went from, we bought it for 530 and it's now probably $1 million something. And you go, oh, great, he's done really well. But he hasn't really. If he sells the house, he buys another house of the same value. So all he's done is kept up with inflation.
He's done well if he uses that money productively, right?
Yeah, then he's done well.
Yeah,
but he hasn't in real terms done well. And this is the other trap that people fall into in real estate. So I just want to encourage you guys out there listening to really do some thought experiments. I'm not saying pull the trigger quickly. It took a year before I decided to sell all my real estate and change gears. And I did it as a result of speaking to other people who are richer than me. And like one of my really closest friends is a commercial agent and worth a lot of money. And he's done very, very well. And I said, how come you don't own any? And he said, I've been through that phase of my life. I did own real estate and it helped me build my wealth. And I'm happy to buy and sell it for others. But now I do first mortgage lending and I do these other things. And here's why. And then I spoke to 10 people. And the more and more people I spoke to and the more and more I compared their life that they have with the life that I want. Like I have access to people who are, my bank manager said to me, Adam, of all the people I service, you're one of my favorite clients because you actually are living the life that you should be living with that level of equity. But he said, a lot of my clients are your age and older, and they're still acquiring real estate in their 70s and doing deals and leveraging and everything because they're so goddamn scared of solving the problem of how do you be happy when you're not doing the deal? How do you live, fill your life in a meaningful way? Yeah. And people are like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to slow travel. And they're like, what's that? I said, well, I go into Spain and I get a little apartment in a busy street in the old town. And I sit there and I learn about that district of Madrid. And I go to a football game on the weekend and I go and eat with the locals. And then when I'm tired there, I go over to Portugal or whatever. That's what I want to do and try and fill my days with learning and no meetings. And that's such a big transition for crack addicts.
What's that movie with Demi? Was it Demi Moore or Julia Roberts?
Under the
Tuscan Sky. Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray, Love is obviously targeted at the person trying to like work out what to do with their lives or whatever. But it's the Eat, Pray, Love for the successful person who's worth heaps of money. Like we have to be constantly going through that exercise, Eat, Pray, Love, to work out, you know, because it's sometimes we get lost.
Like my watch that I have, I put it in a storage. I'm not even taking a fancy watch. I don't care about that stuff. So there comes a point where you get to where you go, okay, what do I want to do? Do I want to hustle until
just
I
threw his watch?
Yeah, yeah. Eric's taken off all his shit.
Hang on.
Catch. No, but there comes a, you know, you've got to make a conscious choice for you and the family. It's actually much easier to stay in hustle culture and to go, okay, I want to go to be 100 million or a billion. It's much easier actually to do that than to have a hard right and go, I'm going to become the complete opposite of what I've been. And when I turned 50, I just hit that point of like, fuck, what do I see?
There's episodes of this pod that I'm on and I'm like, fuck, this episode has changed my life. And I would just love to know if anyone else is feeling the same way.
My wife the other day, I forget who it was, and I was telling her, I'm like, oh, can you believe these people? You know, they've just sold this and they've bought that. And
oh, who was it now?
Oh, I was talking about, so we went to, I went to a meeting, a luncheon last week in Brisbane with a big private equity firm. We got invited and they had the ex-owners of VIP Pet Foods, the Quinn family, right? Very, very, very successful family, right? They've already sold multiple businesses for the hundreds of millions. They've just bought Sara Lee now. And he basically said that the dad told the son, well, if we buy this, you know that you're living in the factory for 3 years. And he legit has an area in the factory where he sleeps up top. And I was explaining this to Jen. And she's like, that makes no sense. Why would someone want to keep doing that? Like, enjoy life. And I'm like, but Jen, that must be their enjoyment. Just because your enjoyment is traveling the world and enjoying the fruits of your labor, other people maybe have done that, got it out of their system, and this is what they love doing because they're working with 200-400 people and they're employing people and they're seeing people grow within their business and the rest of it. And then she started commenting around like, people got to start thinking. And she says to me sometimes, she's like, why do you keep doing what you do, right? Like, are you trying to impress someone? Is it, you know, are you trying to talk to that little boy that you may have felt that you weren't good enough, even though that's not how I've felt as growing up. But I'm just saying, you know, she's just saying these things in regards to like, but why aren't people just, why wouldn't they just enjoy the money? You can never spend it all anyways, you know? So it's so interesting to see the different mentality on different people, right?
And this tricks on ourselves too. Like some people will trick themselves into believing that that's what they want to do. And some people, it's genuinely true.
Yeah, right. But if you think about it, like if you go and you use rough numbers and you go, okay, if you can set yourself up, and obviously Adam is at a point where he doesn't have, you know, 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds, so it's different, right? Everyone's in different positions. Like you're going to have to decide at some point, are you in Byron or Melbourne? Because your kid's going to be going to school unless she's homeschooled.
Like everyone keeps telling us that.
Right? Unless she's homeschooled, right? That's the reality. Like for 8 months of the year, you need to be somewhere, right? Within reason, unless you're homeschooling. Because that's what society's taught us, right?
Yeah.
And these are the questions and these are the decisions that we need to make and going like, why do we keep doing what you're doing? Like I can't answer that question. I actually can't answer the question, why do I keep looking for the next deal? Why am I buying property with James right now that we know, you know, it'll take 2 years and make, why, right? Because I haven't spent that time thinking deeply enough on why. I just do, and I impulse, and I just love the deal. And it's it's the adrenaline of going, I'm going to turn this thing from this to this, and I'm going to fucking tell stories about it. You know what I mean? It's like, how cool is that, right?
It's like trading.
And help others do that. But like, that's what I say my why is, but think deeply.
You've got to challenge. You have to be around people that, not force is the wrong word, but you have to be around people that encourage you to challenge your whys in a positive way, I think.
Yeah.
And that's what I get from sitting on these pods for sure.
And you know, like Eric, you know, like if you're still there and you're loving it and enjoying it, then a power to you, man. Like, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Mark, I can see, is a bit more of an adventurous spiritual journeyman.
Yeah.
You know, like he's got different bend to him. So you got to do it. For me, I just woke up one day and I hated most of what I saw in my calendar.
Yeah.
And I, for real, I just got up and I just was like not excited.
Yeah.
And that's where I hit. So you'll go through different cycles and phases. And I just hope that I say to younger entrepreneurs, if what happened to me happens to you, you goddamn better get your money made before you hit 50. Because when you get to 50, when I got to 50, I was like, fuck this shit. Not to say it too bluntly, but that's where I got to. And I was like, I saw that clip with Keanu Reeves where he said, I hit a point in my life where if somebody came up to me and said 1 + 1 = 5, I would look at them and go, do you know what? You're totally right. Have a nice day. Bye. Yeah. Well, that's what happened to me. Well, because you stopped giving a fuck.
One thing that woke me up a little bit is that new Sylvester Stallone documentary biography in on Netflix. And he has a thing in there that goes, it's all about building.
Yeah.
When you're up to 40 years old, it's all about building.
Gaining stuff.
And gaining. And after 40, it's all about losing. You know, you lose muscle mass, you lose energy, you lose your family, you lose. And I was just like, that's me right now. Like, I'm at the cusp. I'm at the pinnacle of now, if that's the case, I'm just going to start losing. And to be honest with you, like, I went to the osteo yesterday for a bit of a tune-up, and I'm like, 10 years ago, I never seen an osteo in my life. I never seen a chiropractor. You know, like, I go for a walk 3-4 weeks ago with the wrong shoes. Next thing you know, I got Achilles tendonitis. Like, this is the shit I'm dealing with, bro. I'm 41, man. What's going to happen when I'm 50? I don't want to be rolling around Barcelona in a wheelchair. You know what I mean? Like, these are the things that
just really, remember you giving Adam right? shit.
Yeah,
fucking
I was. Yeah, yeah.
Classes.
Like I'm, you know, I just drove by Kaiser not long ago, and I look at him, I'm going like, I better not be going to that place. This guy's been donating for the last 2 months.
You will be,
you know.
We but love that joint.
James, you've been quiet. How's your body going?
Eh? Yeah, well, I went to Kaiser quite a while before Adam did, and I wasn't quite 50, so I know it all too well.
James got me into the place. Best place for serious shout out for those guys if you do have lower back problems.
Well, the way James is going, we bought a site, right? And it's in Burley, and it's 450 meters from the beach. I'm like, let's go for a walk. Let's just see the view. I think he actually commented, we don't actually have to walk all the way to the beach, do we?
I'm getting this because I live on it. That's because I actually live on it. I'm like right there. I'm like, I got to see it every day.
We're walking. I'm like, I want to know if it's 4 minutes or 5 minutes. We're walking for 2 minutes. It's 4.5, mate. Let's go back.
Meanwhile, he's just pissing sweat. I was like, man, I was looking out for you, to be honest.
It is hard pushing a wheelchair up a hill. Let's be honest. So anyway, for all of you listening out there, you know, I hope you find some value in this banter. We're at the end of this pod, but, you know, the whole point of all of this pod is to try and get you guys thinking about why, like, why are you doing this stuff? Like, it, you know, business, when I look back on it now, it's to help you and your family have the life that you want. And it's really a customized, that's why we always say not financial advice. I get asked all the time, what should I do? And I, in DMs, and I'm like, I don't know enough about you. I don't know enough about how much, do you have like a daddy fund of $5 million? Do you not? Is this everything you've got? You can never, nothing is ever like anybody who's giving you advice on YouTube or through DMs or whatever. It's a fool's errand. You really, your life is your life. Your risk tolerance is your risk tolerance. Your ability to stomach crypto and shares is different. Everybody's got different makeup. So hopefully from this sort of unstructured discussion, you can start to go, oh, look, James's style really resonates with me. Or I like Eric because Eric fucking charges in business. He's a alpha, you know, I like that. I like Mark's sort of semi-hippie approach, you know, with the kids. And I'll listen to Mark. Or maybe you like my old man advice. I don't know what resonates with you.
Don't be that hard on yourself.
No, I'm not. But you know what I mean? Like, I like where I am. I like where you guys are at. That as a listener, it's important that you try to self-identify and see what inspires you from any one of us and then drill into that and just tune in because everybody's different. Or maybe the story about Cass has touched you and you go, fuck, I'm like Cass. I'm that introverted male or female that's behind the scenes. And maybe that little idea is something you can pick up and run with. So that's why we have these discussions, guys, is to offer you different paths, because I truly do believe that no matter how you're made up, that these days, fortunately, there is a path to creating the life you want.
Like everyone's out there saying, you know, you got to do the work, you got to do the work. I think what we've made clear today is that the self-work, you know, not in a woo-woo way, but however you want to look at it, your self-work is the most important work.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much money you die with. It's like, did you live a fulfilled life? Do we wake up every day feeling fulfilled at the life that we're living?
And like Adam said ago, this started for him 12 months ago. So he's done a lot of self-work 12 months ago.
But it's never ending.
But to come to a point where he's at now to make a decision like that, like this isn't a 5-minute decision, right? But the thing is with us, what I've realized, right, from my wife and obviously us here on the panel is... I need to be doing more thinking. I think you need to be doing more thinking, right? You've said it.
It's a never-ending audit,
Audit. Yeah.
We're sitting here, just quickly, I want to mention it, because Matt's sitting here today from Melbourne. He's one of our clients and become a really good friend over the years. And Matt was in IT and he had this sort of, you know, he looked at what was happening in AI and the music space, and he sort of tried out one of these AI generating music tools where you can go to an AI, have the AI write the script, like tell it, I want a song about this. And then the AI writes a song and then you can tweak it using the prompts. And then you can take it to another platform and say, turn that into a country music song that's a cross between Taylor Swift and Kenny Chesney or whatever. And it actually makes the music, creates a singer using the lyrics and turns out a song. And Matt got a real kick out of this, right? A real creative expression for him. And he shared it with me, and I'm so honored that he did, because it's really hard when you're in tech to go into a creative endeavor, create some art, right? Because it is. It's his fingerprints over the prompts, and it's his prompting and working with the AI to get this creative result, which is completely subjective, and then give it to somebody that you respect and go, what do you think, right? That's a very special thing to do. So I, of course, said, Matt, I'm so stoked for you. This is amazing. And he's followed that thread and he's now developed a channel. What's it called, just out of interest?
AI DIY.
You can look it up on YouTube.
AI DIY.tech.
Yeah, AI DIY.tech, T-E-C-H. You can look up Matt, you can connect with him. But what's happened, he's now built this YouTube channel. I think it's nearly 10,000 subs or 5,000 subs? 2,000. Oh, sorry, I got it wrong. Okay, 2,000 subs. But he's just been doing this for fun around his day job. But what's interesting, he's got a community of people now building around it. And in time, that can turn into an income source through a whole bunch of ways.
Cool.
And I just love that he's like doing what we do is not his thing, but this is his thing. And in time, with patience, like what Eric was talking about, is very possible.
Same place.
Yeah, Matt will build a business around something that he loves with a community of AI music creators. And who knows where that will land. But I look at him even now while I'm sitting here, I can see he just loves what he's doing. He's really content with what he's doing. So just really be open to exploring and sometimes look at your resources and think about them differently. Think deeply and ask that question. Hey, what if we did this? The number of what if conversations I had with Cass before we went the path with, what if we did this and that? Sold one of the properties, kept one and did this. So what if, and in the end, one day I just said, what if we just sold everything and did this? And that was the one that we went, just lit us up. So with that said, guys, thank you for watching the pod. Drop a comment, like, subscribe, share the news, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Hey there, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.